Several years ago, I was given a book that combined two of my greatest interests called The Gospel According to the Simpsons. The Simpsons being the animated TV comedy that's been on the air for almost 30 years now. The show has dealt often and often quite sympathetically with religion and specifically the Christian faith. The Gospel According to the Simpsons has chapter headings like Does Lisa Speak for Jesus? And Personal Prayer, Dear God, Give a Bald Guy a Break. And Heaven, Hell, and the Devil, I'd Sell My Soul for a Donut. But the most memorable for me was the chapter about the Simpson family's next-door neighbor, Ned Flanders, an evangelical Christian, which is titled, If Everyone Were Like Ned Flanders, There'd Be No Need for Heaven. Now, Ned can be a cynic's nightmare, and he himself admits that he's, quote, as exciting as a baked potato. But he's the kind of guy anyone would want as a neighbor, always considerate and ready to help out at a moment's notice. One of the reasons he's such a sympathetic character is because he manages to avoid what Mark Pinsky, the book's author, calls, quote, the chief undermining sin of Christian character in fiction and fact, hypocrisy. Ned may be a goody two-shoes, but he is not a hypocrite. And I think the Gospels bear Pinsky out here. Jesus couldn't stand hypocrisy. But if hypocrisy is the chief undermining sin of the Christian character, then a close second might be smugness or self-satisfaction. Ned Flanders is not a hypocrite, and neither is he smug. Jesus doesn't care much for smugness either. And it's smugness that seems to be what gets the Pharisee condemned in today's parable in Luke. The Pharisee prays to the Lord, saying, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. Now, as rector of Grace Church during annual stewardship season, I should make clear that this Pharisee is not condemned for giving a tenth of his income. In fact, neither is he condemned for fasting or managing to avoid the sins of theft or adultery. How wonderful that he's neither a thief or rogue or an adulterer. This Pharisee is condemned because in his prayers, he is so self-congratulatory. Hopefully, the Pharisee keeps on avoiding the sins he mentions. Hopefully, the tax collector he looks down on stops collecting taxes for the hated Romans. Behavior is an important thing. But according to the parable Jesus gives us this morning, it's not the only thing. If it were, Jesus would have no problem with this Pharisee, but he does. The question is why? What is wrong with smugness? When we think of someone who is smug, and I think it wouldn't take much more than a second or two for most of us to conjure up a name of someone in that category, we tend to think of people who are externally smug, someone who tells you how fantastic they are. A certain presidential candidate comes to mind in this election season, but we all have smug people in our own lives as well, so I don't need to name names. That kind of external smugness goes against the gospel of Jesus because it tends to belittle other people. We have no evidence from today's parable that this Pharisee is saying anything smug to anyone. He's simply expressing his inner thoughts to God in heaven. And what's wrong with that? Well, first of all, inner smugness can lead to outer smugness, so there's an inherent risk there. But even if this Pharisee were never to boast of his accomplishments or his piety to a single human being, he would still be on the wrong track. He would still not be, as Jesus says this morning, justified, meaning acquitted. He would still not be in right relationship with God. Why is that? problem with smugness, even internal smugness, is that it isolates us from our brothers and sisters, from God's creation, and from God's own self. We may think that works just fine for us, and it may indeed work well for a time, but it isn't how God wants us to live our lives. Our lives are best lived in connection with God and those God has placed us with on this earth, and to be changed and opened up by those connections. And in the end, smugness will stop us from knowing that we are more than just our own accomplishments or even our own thoughts or feelings. In his 1886 novella, The Death of Ivan Ilyich, Leo Tolstoy writes this about the title character who has come to the end of his life and realizes that the self-congratulation that has defined his life has led him down the wrong path. It occurred to him that his scarcely perceptible attempts to struggle against what was considered good by the most highly placed people, those might have been the real thing, and all the rest false. There is something false in self-congratulation, and something that draws us away from God and our true selves. Finally, I should say a word about the tax collector, a sinful profession in Roman Palestine, who prays to God for mercy. Jesus says that this man is justified, meaning God has heard his prayers and has essentially forgiven him. The Bible doesn't tell us whether this man will now stop collecting taxes for the Romans and pursue a more ethical profession. For all we know, he goes right back to work the next day at the Roman equivalent of the IRS, knowing that what he's doing is wrong. Why might he do that? Could be any of a number of things, and the parable ends too soon for us to know. But what we do know is that he is forgiven before he can even begin to mend his ways. So in the Pharisee, we have a man who acts correctly, but thinks and prays wrongly. And in the tax collector, we have a man who prays correctly, but acts wrongly. And Jesus says he's the one who's justified. How we think, how we pray, matters greatly to our lives and the lives of others. Yes, certainly, do the right thing, like today's Pharisee and like Ned Flanders. And think and pray rightly too, which is to say, humbly and openly and seeking mercy, like the tax collector. Do not wait too long to do it, like Ivan Ilyich does, who realizes only at the close of his life that where he had sought out and reveled in achievements and status, he ought to have focused his heart and mind on God's mercy and the deep connectedness to everyone in his life, no matter who they are. Because that's where true peace, God's peace, is to be found.